It started playing it back. How curious.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, done there. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, right. So, I came across this Mishnah on Shabbos, and definitely was not coincidental, since I have Yahrzeit today, and given the concept that I'm talking about today as well, Kate, they all come together in this one Mishnah. And it says as follows, Mishnah in the second perik of Edios. Hu hoy oimer ha'ov zeicha leben. Father is mezake, the son, the two main mahalchim as to what exactly it means, exactly how and in what way, but in some way there is a connection between the father and the son. V'noi uv'koyach uv'oishu uv'chochma uv'shonim. And then the Mishnah adds, uv'mispar hadoros lefonov. In the amount of generations that extend in front of him, v'hu haketz. This is linked in to the concept of ketz. The Tosfos Yontov adds, Lashon HaRivud, the fact that the Mishnah explains the number of generations that will extend as being linked to the idea of Kates, it is not the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal Kates, this concept of Kates. Legila Oisei LaOdom, never revealed it. Elo la Avram levadoi begolos Mitzrayim, only Avram had that revelation of Kates. Elo lefonofu, Kodesh Baruch Hu does know about it, this concept of Kates. Now, we know that in next week's parasha, when Yaakov calls his children together, he wanted to reveal the Kates to them. And the Shechina then left him. So as Rashi tells us, he moved on to Dvarim Acherim. He moved on to other things. And the way it is explained in the Medrash is he was worried that there was chet amongst them. And at that stage, they responded by saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, for them to demonstrate the concept of unity, and Bor Hashem Kvod Malchusei Le'olam Vayed, which was then said as a response to this Shema Yisrael. But the problem is that Yaakov does go back to dealing with ideas of Kates, both when he talks about Yehuda on two occasions, Ad Kiyovo Shela, that the Malchus of Yehuda will endure until the times of Mashiach, and later on, according to the Targum, within the Bracha of Yehuda, he is dealing with Kates. And also when it comes to the Bracha of Don, and he says, Lishuoscha Kivisi Hashem, this also refers to the end of time. Which means that it isn't as simple as Yaakov thought he was going in the wrong direction and then decided to change the direction that he was headed in. The Medrash, however, tells us that Yaakov looked into the names of the Shvatim. If you go through the letters that form the names of the 12 Shvatim, there are the letters Kuf and Tzadi missing. Kates don't exist in all of the letters from Reuven till Binyamin. You don't find those two letters. So he could not find Kates within the Shvatim. That's why he stopped. And he felt that it was Chet that had been Goyramit. So they pointed out to him that the letters Ches and Tes also don't exist. Those are the only four letters that don't occur in the names of the 12 Shvatim, are the two letters that make up Ket and the two letters that make up Chet. So it wasn't because of Chet that Ket does not exist in the letters of the Shvatim. What exactly does that mean? To understand that, we have to take a far broader perspective and actually understand the Chodesh, the month of Teves. Because we find ourselves now, literally, halfway between the two extremes of the Chodesh. On the one hand, we have just ended Chanukah, which was a time of Nes and a time of Gilui. On the other hand, we're about to enter into 3 days of negativity, 3 days of Churban, Ches, Tes, and Yud Teves, which create a chazoka of Churban. On Ches, the Torah was translated into Greek. On Tes, well, Machlekes, the Shulchan Aruch says we don't quite know. The Ashkenazi Slichas tell us that that's the day that Ezra died. And on Yud is the day the siege started against Yerushalayim in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, all these three define Churban, either Churban of Torah or Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's within a week of Hanukkah. Yes. So we stand here, behind us, a Yom Tov, in front of us, Churban. How do we understand what the month of Teves actually represents? So for that, we have to retreat into Hanukkah slightly, and deal with the threat that the Yevonim created for us. We are told in Al HaNisim that what the Yevonim attempted to do was lahashkichom Torah, to make us forget Torah. How do you make somebody forget Torah? I can understand that you impose a decree that they're not allowed to learn Torah, but how do you force somebody to forget? The way the Greeks attempted to do so is by blurring the distinctions between us and them. The Havdalah between Kodesh L'Chol, between Yisrael L'Amim, is what they attempted to eradicate. And therefore, the Golus of Yavon was not one, unlike the other three, where they attempted or actually carried out the killing of Klal Yisrael, or dispersed Klal Yisrael into other lands. They were quite happy for Klal Yisrael to keep their Beis HaMikdash. They were quite happy for Klal Yisrael to remain in their land. As long as they weren't that Jewish, as long as they didn't see themselves, Kisu lachem al keren asher, she'ein lachem chelek be'elokei Yisrael, that you are not the chosen people. What you've done to date, you know, it's a book, it's a very interesting, why don't you translate it into Greek so we can all read it, we can keep it in our library in Philadelphia, in Egypt, and we can debate it, we can write essays on it, we can, lahavdil, compare and contrast your book with our book, your ideology and philosophy with ours. That is the absolute churban of Torah. But that's what they tried to do. And this is also, therefore, what the Gemara in Menachos is referring to, that when Moshe, Sha'olam Moshe Lemorim, and he finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu embellishing the letters of the Torah with tugging, with crowns, and he tells Moshe that on each one of these, on each kutz, Rabbi Akiva is going to be Doresh Tilei Tilim Shel Halachos, which all go out the window as soon as you translate this into Greek. There are no tugging that can bring back all of that level of Torah. There is a shikhas ha-Torah which will happen when Torah is no longer unique and when Torah is no longer in its original form. And the outcome of this lack of distinction, of this lack of uniqueness, is a concept which we are very familiar with, the concept of Machlekes. Machlekes comes into being, because if it no longer has that level of absoluteness, if it is in danger of becoming like anything else. So there are bits and pieces that you borrow, there are bits and pieces that you forget, you don't pay as much attention to it, because it isn't Kihem Chayenu anymore. It isn't the lifeblood of the Jewish people, it's a book. It's a book, and other people have got books as well. So how much emphasis are you placing on it? And therefore, when did Machlokes first come into being? So the Mishnah in the second parak of Chagiga tells us, at this time, the time of the Greeks, Yesi ben Yeezer Omer Shalei Lismech, Yesi ben Yechnan Omer Lismech. This is the first Machlokes recorded in the Mishnah, which was not resolved. It isn't some that people forgot an area of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu also forgot. It's a shikha that comes and creates machlekes, and the machlekes continues, because the Mishnah goes on to say, Yeshua ben Paracha Eimesh Leilismach, Nitei Rebeli Eimesh Lismach, Yehuda ben Tabai Shema ben Shetach, Shemaya Avtalion, Hillel Shammai. It continues through the times of the Greeks into the times of the Romans. This is a machlekes which never gets resolved. That is what the Greek golos was, of Lahashkichom Terasecho. To make us forget the uniqueness, the greatness of Torah, to the extent that it created a machlokes which could never be resolved. And you can't put that genie back into the bottle. Once it's there, it stays forever. It can't in any way be resolved. What did the Chachomim do? They are now confronting Golos Yavon. What did they do with it? Until then, the answer had been to get back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To get back, let's say in the times of Purim, to be Megala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring about the concept of the Achdus, of the unity that exists with Yerushalayim, with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Torah, Shavuos, with Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we are the Am HaNivchar. Until then, the idea had been, go back to the concept of unity. But you can't do that anymore. Once Machlokes has reared its head, it can no longer be put down. What instead they did, is came up with the solution within the Tzara. They didn't get rid of the Tzara, you can't. What they did is they created, out of Machlokes, two valid expressions of Torah. Where until now there had been one, there were now two, but equally valid. So that the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, within a machlekes in Hilchos Shabbos, both are Torah. Both are valid, both are halacha lemaisa. Rather than being able to undo the tzara, you emerge with kelim to deal with the tzara. And that's why we on Hanukkah have the concept of the minhag, sing Moed Tzur. Moed Tzur is very unusual in the fact that it deals not just with Hanukkah, but it's like a mini version of the Golios that we've had in history. As opposed to, generally on Yom Tov, we focus on that Yom Tov. Purim, Shoshanas Yaakov, right? We're dealing with Purim. Here, not only do we deal with previous Golios, but we end with Chasiv Zerah Kodshecha, right? According to most opinions. We carry on with the last paragraph. The last paragraph hadn't yet happened in the times of the Yevonim. Now, admittedly, Moed Tzur was written many hundreds of years later, but nevertheless, the idea that on Hanukkah you're dealing with a later event is the idea that Golos Yavon never came to an end. It continues to exist amongst us to this very day. The machlekes in Torah that happens from then on only expands. And what we have to do is carry on dealing with it in the way that the Chachomim created for us at the time. And that means that it's true, Teves starts with Yom Tov, but it rapidly continues into Churban, into a Chazakah of Churban. 3 days of Churban, Ches, Tes, and Yud. And that Churban never comes to an end. In fact, the Zohar tells us on the Pasuk in Shemos, Shemos being in most years, the last parasha of Chodesh Teves. Chodesh Teves, in most years, is Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi, and Shmois. Those are the four sedras of Chodesh Teves. Shmois is the last of those four. All of those four, by the way, are about Golas. All of those four sedras deal with the idea of a lack of clarity. And even when Yaakov is giving the brachas in Vayechi, he's giving those brachas in Mitzrayim. And Shmois finishes with complete Golas. What is really the last pasuk of Shmois? It's the second last, because we never finish with that negative inyan. But what's the last pasuk of Shmois, really, of Sedra Shmois? Ume'oz bosi el pare heira la'omazeh. Everything has only got worse. So you have Moshe trying to redeem Klal Yisrael, and what happens? It's not that things get a little bit better. It's not even the status quo. Tichbad aleim. It gets worse. That's the Sedras of Teves. So the Zohar says on the phrase, on the part of the Pasuk, Vatitzpineu, that's Yocheved, the mother of Moshe, hid him for 3 months. Says the Zohar, the 3 months that she hid him are the months of Tammuz, Av, and Teves. Which clearly isn't the case for two reasons. First of all, because those 3 months are not contiguous. And secondly, because the 3 months that she hid him are Adar, Nisan, and Iyar. So, what is the Zohar referring to? Moshe is the Goyel. Moshe is the Redeemer. There are 3 months of the year in which he is hidden, where he can't be clearly seen. Tammuz, Av, and Teves. And of all of them, Teves is the worst, because it doesn't end on a positive. It ends in Golus. Which means that what we have to do in that Chodesh is discover the tools to deal with the lack of clarity. And therefore, Shem Havaya, the Yudke Vovke, you don't find it in Miketz, you don't find it in Vayigash. The first time you find it is 2/3 of the way through Parshas Vayechi, Lishu'oscho Kivisi Hashem. What is going on when Yaakov says, Lishu'oscho Kivisi Hashem? So most people assume that when he's giving the bracha to Shevet Dan, and he sees that Shimshon ends up being captured by the Pelishtim Baruch HaKodesh, that he says, who knows what will happen, and therefore I pray, Lishu'oscho Kivisi Hashem. It's not quite what Yaakov is doing. What he's saying is that the way to emerge from this golus is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to create a case, that I am going to give you the answer now, that in 70 years you will emerge from this golus and you'll build the second Beis HaMikdash, as Yecheskel foretold at the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. It's not going to be like that. You can't find a Ketz which is readily packaged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for when this Golus will come to an end. How will it end? Through our input. Lishu'oscho Kivisi Hashem. If we hold on, if we hang on in there, if we are Mitzapim LiYeshua, and hence it being one of the 6 questions that are asked of us, Tzipisa LiYeshua, did you await, did you assume that in the long term, without question, things are going to turn out, even though in this Chodesh we see no light whatsoever, even though going forward at the moment we can only see darkness, did you nevertheless hold on, Lishu'oscho Kivisi Hashem, that there would be a Gilui of Yudke Vovke? Did you do so? In that case, that's how eventually the Ketz will manifest. It's not because of hate that Yaakov couldn't reveal Ketz. It's because the Ketz is brought about through our holding on to Emuna in times of absolute darkness. In times where Vatitzpaneu, where Moshe is seemingly missing from the narrative. And hence, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who were Machzeh Torah LeYoshna, who restored the titles to HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Shemini Esrei of HaGodol, HaGibur, VaHaNoira. even though the Nevi'im said, how can you say Noira when the Oroin is no longer here, when the Shechina is no longer manifest in the Beis HaMikdash, Nochrim, Macharkrim, Behechal, how can you say HaNoira? The Noira that we now are made to is the fact that we survive in Golos. Is the fact that we are surrounded by all of those people that try to destroy us, that try to obliterate us, and nevertheless, we persevere and we succeed in maintaining our existence. That's the Noira. That's the Gilui that comes through Teves. Not the short-term light that started the Chodesh of Teves, but the long-term Tzipiso Li Yeshua. And hence, Chodesh Teves is the first of the Chodoshim, it's the 10th, we're starting obviously from Nisan, it's the 10th Chodesh, it's the first Chodesh that contains the letter Tes. And as the Gemara tells us, somebody who sees Tes, the letter Tes, in a Chaloyim, Yitzapel Latoiv. That doesn't mean that there's something good in the here and now. He's still in darkness, he's still in a Chaloyim. But there will be Toiv at the end of it. And this is also why the appropriate Shevet, the appropriate tribe for this Chodesh is Shevet Don. For a number of reasons. Firstly, we know that Shevet Don's Chelek was both in the north and in the south, that there is an element of greatness and an element of negativity to Don. Don, on the one hand, was one of the two architects of the Mishkan, because Aholiyav was from Shevet Don, whereas Bezalel was from Shevet Yehuda. So you had the greatest, Yehuda, and the last, Don, building the Mishkan between them. And we know that Don, thank you, we know that Don was the Ma'aseif L'chol HaMachanos, that Don travelled last. They were the ones that were at the very back. So they seem to define the Shevet that's almost about to fall off the edge, almost about to drop off. They are at the very back. Yet, they are the Ma'asef L'chol HaMachanos. What does that mean? So, once again, the normal understanding is they got your lost property back to you. It doesn't mean they got their lost property back to you. It means they made sure that that lost property wasn't lost forever. They are the ma'asef, which means they are the guarantors of the fact that this thing will still be reunited with its owner. But it hasn't happened yet. At the moment, it's still in foreign hands. The advantage is that those foreign hands are not ones that you will never come across. It's part of Klal Yisrael, but it's not yours, it's not in your Rishus yet, it's not with you yet. And therefore, they define this concept of holding on to something which will still happen, but has yet to manifest. And in keeping with that, we also have an understanding of the Chodesh of Teves, with regards to the Tzirufei Shemos. If you look in a Siddur, and even in fact a Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur, you will find that each one of the 12 months has a particular way of being defined. And one of the ways it's defined is by the way that the Shem Havaya, the Shem Yudke Vovke, is written. Right? Normally, any four-letter combination can be written in 24 different ways, right? 1 times 2 times 3 times 4. Except within the Yudke Vovke, two of the letters are the same, two Hays. And therefore, there are only 12 ways of writing Yudke Vovke. Right? You can write it Yud, Hey, Hey, Vov, Yud, Hey, and then the normal way, the Vov and the Hey. There are 12 ways of writing the name. Each one of these refers to a different month of the year, as you normally find after Hallel, before Musaf, for Rosh Chodesh, you find the 12 months of the year, and the 12 ways that they are written. And they refer either to four Roshei Tevis or four Sofei Tevis. So Nisan, for instance, is the normal way of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the normal revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Yismuchu HaShamayim V'Sogel Ha'oretz, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Tevis is Sofei Tevis, obviously, because it's the end. It's something that isn't as manifest as the other months. And it is to do with the phrase, Gadlu Lashem Iti Unaroimim O'Shamoi. So in the four words, Lashem Iti Unaroimim O'Shamoi, that is the phrase that is relevant to Chodesh Tevis. And the way the name of Hashem is written there is Hey Yud Hey Vov. Now, without going into this to too great a degree, the letters Yud and Vov are the Shefa, are the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. That is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us. The Yud is the beginning of creation, the Vov is the extension of that, and the two letters He are the receiving of that Shefa. It's called Malchus. It means it's the receiving end of the Gilui. The Yud and the Vav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's initiation of the process. The He is our receiving of that process. And therefore, normally, obviously, Yud is followed by He, and Vav is followed by He. In this month, in the Chodesh Tevis, it's the other way round. He precedes Yud, and He precedes Vav. The idea is that in this month, we don't see the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to put in the effort, and as a result, there will be a Gilui. That's the idea of Lishuoscha Kivisi Hashem. That's the idea of the Tzipiso LeYeshua. By us having an input, by us holding on to the Emuna that there will be a Geula, that is the way that brings about the Geula. But the Geula is not manifest in the here and now. In fact, as we explained, Golus Yovan does not come to a close when the Greek army, when the Greek empire disappears or is defeated. It never comes to an end. And we see that clearly within the Chashmonaim themselves. What happened to the Chashmonaim? So, in the short term, four out of the five sons of Matisyahu, after the date that we celebrate as Hanukkah, were killed in battle. Only one of the five sons lived to see any type of peace with the Greeks, and that was Shimei. But all the other four die after the date we celebrate on Chof Hei Kislev. And in the long term, what happened to the Chashmonaim? So as we know from the Gemara, from the Rambam, anybody who says they are a descendant of the Chashmonaim, it's a simon, they're an eved, they're a simon, they're a non-Jew. They completely disappear from the picture. There isn't a happily ever after with the Chashmonaim. What actually happens is, there's a very brief period of respite, and then it gets worse, and almost is totally extinguished. And therefore, when Yaakov wants to be Megale the Kates, what he can do is tell us Lishuoscha Kivisi Hashem. And to go back to that Mishnah in Edios, Ha'av Zoche Leben, and one of the things is Vehu HaKates, at the end of time, as the Tosfos Yontov points out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to that and asks us to hold on to what? To Emunah. In a time of absolute darkness, at a time where you cannot see it happening, the challenge of Golus Yovan is when there is Shikha, when there is Machlokes, create Torah out of it. Create Emunah out of it. And that is the derech through which we emerge from Chodesh Teves into the Geula HaHasida. Since I have Yahrzeit today, I would like to say Kaddish now, and there is a tikkun at the back for those who wish, for Rav Elazar ben Rav Chaim.